Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Our sermon text for this Easter morning is from the gospel lesson appointed for Easter sunrise. I read to you from the Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 18. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced this to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Thus far the text. I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this good news, this news of the resurrection. We pray that you bless it to our hearts, that we might receive it gladly and especially proclaim it loudly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, friends, a long time ago, back in the infancy of GPS technology, devices would give you exact directions in a general way. If you wanted to get from here to someplace across town, the machine wouldn't give you street names or anything else. It would just say turn left or turn right, drive a certain distance, and then turn again. And it didn't matter really how far you were going. If you were driving to Vancouver, once you got onto the Trans-Canada Highway, it might say something to the effect of drive 1,163 kilometers and then turn left. If that ever didn't make you want to leave your finger on the turn signal and just wait for that turn to come at you. But that GPS technology, as ridiculous as it may have sounded, was actually giving accurate directions. It was telling you exactly what was happening and what will happen next. Now, Scripture is very much accurate, far more accurate than a GPS could ever be. From Genesis right through to the end of the Old Testament, it said that Christ would come. It promised that. It foretold our Lord's birth. It also told us that he would die. Many times in the prophets it's written that the Lord would suffer and die, that was foretold numerous times. It also talked about his eternal reign, or in other words, about his resurrection. And when we get to the New Testament, it's the same thing. Jesus himself in the Gospels was telling his disciples in terms of GPS talk that there was a turn coming up. For he was teaching his disciples, it says in Mark 9:31, he was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later. But they didn't understand that statement. It says in Mark 9:32, and they were afraid to ask. We also remember Simon Peter railing against that statement. He actually took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Needless to say, they were struggling with the information at hand. Maybe they thought the GPS was wrong, so to speak. It had to have been wrong. How could it possibly give directions like that? But it actually did, according to Zechariah 3:17, and reiterated by Jesus in Matthew 26:31, the shepherd would be struck down and the sheep would be scattered. They watched Jesus die. They watched as his body was laid in the tomb. They cried and they hid out of fear. They spent two absolutely horrific nights, I'm sure, in this vision of their Lord's death. And they hid all the way up until that morning of the third day where Mary came and banged on their doors. She was there hurried and out of breath. They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they've laid him. Those disciples got up very quickly and ran to the garden where Jesus had been interred. That stone that sealed the tomb had been removed, and they just stood there flat-footed, not understanding scripture at all, seeing absolutely nothing. The only thing that was left was the funerary clothes that were still there where Jesus had been laid. Now, scripture tells us that John, when he entered the tomb, he left believing. But it wasn't that way. He didn't remember that going into the tomb. He remembered it once he saw it. For as yet, they didn't understand the scriptures that he must rise from the dead. They didn't understand. They needed to be reminded. A friend of mine, back in seminary, a man named Josh, when we were in seminary, he asked me to drive him home one day. That was from St. Catharines. He lived in Buffalo. He lured me there, actually promising me a bucket of wings from Duff's, one of the best places, one of the original places where wings initiated in Buffalo. I love that man dearly. He's an amazing theologian smart as a whip, but boy, he was directionally challenged, that guy. And we made it to Duff's okay, but that was only because I had been there before and I kind of knew the way there. But Josh couldn't find his own house. As we got within a couple of blocks of that place, one of the directions that he gave me was, turn back there! Turn back there! I can't even begin to imagine that somebody would miss that badly, that he wouldn't know where his own place was. And yet, that confusing direction that he gave me, that direction that seemed not to be so helpful, turned out to be an accurate description of where he lived. What the disciples had in their hearts, what the disciples knew, that turned out to be an accurate description of what was going on. While they didn't understand the death or the resurrection, it was becoming clear to them. Jesus would rise again on the third day. Mary, as you know, would be the first to actually see Jesus, and she'd report that good news to the disciples. Then too soon, as well, the disciples, in the evening of that Easter day, they would see Jesus and celebrate. The GPS was right after all. The GPS was right after all. So what about your own GPS? I've talked about Jesus and the disciples and Scripture and Mary and all the things that have happened around the resurrection of our Lord. I talked about me and my friend Josh, but I haven't talked about you yet. What about you? What's programmed into your GPS? Have you given that any thought at all? Have you ever thought about where you're headed? If you're a baptized child of God, I can tell you God has already dialed in your destination. It is established according to your baptism. It's eternal life in heaven. Now, if you're not baptized, I can tell you your intended destination is the same. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but instead to save the world through him, John 3:17. Christ's death and resurrection is all about your salvation. It was programmed into our Lord's heart, into Jesus' heart, to save you. And he accomplished that for you once and for all time. Now, maybe you haven't actually considered that or thought of it as even being important. Maybe you're choosing to go everywhere and do everything else and have your own way rather than pursuing what it is that God has intended for you. That doesn't actually change God's intent, though. All of Scripture was fulfilled for your sake, and God doesn't back down from that. You can completely disregard what it is that the GPS is saying and die. You can do that and die eternally. But to what avail? To what avail? If God has pointed you to Christ and to salvation, he's pointed you to life and not death. None of us will actually avoid the cross. The cross is there as a stumbling block to those who don't believe, but as to salvation, it's yours. And it's going to be in our path. In our paths, we must pass through it. It's our destination. It's there on the way to our destination, just like the Red Sea was in the path of the destination to of Israel from Egypt to the Promised Land. Any normal GPS, by the way, wouldn't do that if it's well programmed and if it's reading the streets right. Why would anybody go to the Red Sea to get to the Promised Land without boats, without anything else? Just Israel was absolutely brought there to show God's glory, and they passed through that body of water on dry ground because God parted those waves and made it possible for that to happen. Well, the only way to get to our Promised Land is via the cross. That's the only way. That's death. That's death to sin. That's death to the old Adam and to the old sinful flesh that we are. But that cross is life still too, newness of life because of the resurrection. And we glorify God for that. Our assurance is the empty tomb of Easter. If we've missed it, don't worry. Don't worry. God wants us to see it. And he'll offer us up new directions to get there, like my buddy Josh turned back there. He'll tell us. God will tell us how to get there. And I pray it happens quickly for each one of us for our sake. Our key verse is printed in our family worship bulletins. It's Psalm 18:46. I read it to you. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. As you reflect on that verse, and it's printed for you in your worship bulletins, as you reflect on that verse, consider how blessed you really are. All of Scripture was fulfilled for your sake, even though you may or may not see it. It's there for your sake. God's intended for you to have eternal life. As yet, you might not get it, but neither the disciples, so it's all okay. While the resurrection might still leave you in wonder, It nevertheless is being offered to you through the empty tomb and for all eternity in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we praise your name. You've made it possible for us to see with eyes of faith, and we worship you. We bless your name, Lord. We ask that you help us to see it also with our own eyes someday in your kingdom that has no end. We await that day as we have awaited the resurrection these 3 days. We await the day where we will all be together in your kingdom that has no end. We pray your blessings upon us, upon our families, upon those that serve us as well. Be a safeguard and a shield between us and all illness. And Lord God, especially keep us from the illness of sin and have our eyes focused on you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.